It is 1899, the turn of the 20th century. 23 years after the extraordinary British scientist Phileas Fogg went around the world in 80 days, he now seeks to better his own feat, to travel to any seven destinations on the planet, no matter how far within the year. Fogg will then justifiably become the head of the Royal Academy of Science. There's just one small problem. Phileas Fogg is a cad, a philanderer, a murderer, and a monster. Only a small group of dashing heroes know the truth, and only they can stop him in an adventurous race around the world. Sugar-Fueled Gamers, in association with RPGMP3.com, presents The World's Most Wondrous Year, a Savage Worlds pulp adventure. A small word of warning. This game is played at a table with a baby and a toddler. Expect a little bit of crying and some periodic toddler commentary throughout the podcast, but that dies off about 30 minutes to an hour in when we put the kids to bed. Thanks for your patience. Episode 14. Voice of the Editor here. This particular episode is a little side trek, side quest, starring Pete and Jonathan only. The other three players are not here. So,
when last we left our heroes, they had made an inadvised attempt to go and talk to the guy who owned the chime at work, who clearly does not like conversation when he prefers to beat people with golems.
And thus we're here with Pete and Jonathan. You have unlocked the gate and rushed in, essentially. Gate behind you here is open.
Cool.
This is
there we are, that's where we're booking towards.
This is all the courtyard with the concrete fence around it.
Yep.
And in here, there is the chime works itself, effectively.
Yep.
What you've got are these big catwalks going around over these huge vats. These things are sitting on ground level. They're basically giant metal giant metal cauldrons, essentially.
Yep.
There's some sort of building up here on the second floor, main office or something, and a building below it as well. So there's office space here on both floors, two-floor thing. There's Pete holding the door, functionally.
Yep, and an iron golem attacked biting his leg.
Jonathan, just a little further in. There is a golem dog having a chew on Pete.
Yep.
And there are four more of these things,
which Jonathan will endeavour to take a good observe of as they try to get on our way out the door. Because golems being golems, once we get off the property, they'll probably stop chasing us.
Yeah.
It
basically stairs at either end going down.
Sweet.
So, is that all self-explanatory?
Yep, I think we can card for it.
And I get less hero points.
Because there's only two of us. Sweet.
Yep.
I'm Bio, Daddy.
Hello, beautiful.
What are you doing, Daddy?
We're role-playing.
Yeah.
Pete and Jonathan are in the Chimic Works fighting some
not particularly
golems.
Scary monsters.
Yes.
And Jonathan will be acting on, a four.
That's mighty.
Pete will be acting on a six.
Yep.
Now, you had planned, your plan was to try and photograph them so as to get something out of this.
Right,
last
yes.
Last time, just to remind you as players.
Yep. Okay, well, Pete's got a camera in his bag.
I'm going to have those back again.
Some of them are not up the right way. Well, after that, those initiatives...
I'd put it in... These are the ones that came off the bottom of the deck last time.
Right.
That don't need to be shuffled back in yet.
Right.
But I just preemptively started shuffling them.
Yeah.
Because of the space madness.
Well, I can understand it playing
too. Well, you probably can't do worse.
No.
Jonathan can have a queen.
Woohoo!
He can have a five.
Yep.
And the golems can have a ten.
Yep. Oh, well, if you can get into my bag and get the photo quickly enough, it's still an option.
Store an option. I don't have anything.
Okay, and Jonathan, Jonathan, you have come in. You have seen these things. You had observed that they
appeared to be vaguely human style of thing.
And I've come to the conclusion that they probably had human skins on,
yeah,
on them.
Yeah, your conclusion was that they were the graveyard, they were the bodies missing from the graveyard.
Yeah.
But you have no confirmation of that because you don't know what those people looked like functionally. And as you run in, the four of them that have these giant poles that are stirring the things, there's two more poles hanging off these ones as well, all start turning towards you. And what do you do about this?
What check is it to get the camera out of Pete's bag?
Assuming that Pete's not opposing you doing this, which I can't imagine why he would. It's not terribly difficult. You just need to... You'll need to step into his melee zone, which you're explicitly not in because you were trying to get away from the golem dog. Draw it out of his bag.
Yep.
So that's two move actions at no penalty, but then if you want to take a photo this round as well, you're going to be at a -4 to it.
Can I settle that?
Oh no, a -2 because you're only taking one move action, because the first move action is free.
Yeah.
Cool, so you can take the photo at a -2.
Yeah.
And so the question is, Pete.
What's that?
Just a second, sweetheart. Do you need to go to the potty?
No.
Okay.
Pete?
Yes?
Is your camera a deluxe model or is it a...
It's a basic model.
Okay. So that will be significantly harder then, because that's the one that that needs the tripod to balance it on and all the rest of it to get a proper photo.
Right, so what does Jonathan need to do to actually get a photo?
Basically, normally you don't need to make a roll to take a photo, because there's nothing opposing you here. Here I will default to what would...
That's 5 point, it's the pot here.
Okay.
I will default to what would be the linked attribute of the art skill if there was one, which is basically spirit.
Yeah.
So using a non-deluxe camera is relatively okay. Using the poorer one, potentially because you're trying to do it under pressure, well moving and that sort of thing, and keep it stable enough that you get a decent photo instead of here's an arm, that will be a spirit check at a -2.
Okay.
Which will then be at another -2 for the drawing the camera out in the first place.
Yep.
So spirit at -4.
What's that?
Nope.
Okay, so you rummage in Pete's bag. There's some scattering as some of Pete's, you know, little mementos go scattering across the giant works, and once again, Jonathan loses you some of your knickknacks and gigors and things.
Yeah. Because Pete's excessive knickknack collection.
Well, I imagine it's he rummages through and throws away, you know, a few sets of rations and some pencils and etc.
Yeah, I can manage.
Pulls out the big camera, turns it round, frantically sort of loads the pan, and as these things are coming down to you, you try and focus on them and flash and get just a corner of something, and you know that's a rubbish photo. It's going to show nothing of value to you. Alright, and that is you.
Yep. Jonathan, now would be good. At this point, Jonathan says, patience is a virtue.
Yes.
The golem dog.
Yes.
Endeavours to have a gnaw on Pete again.
Yeah, now, Pete took a defence action last turn.
Yep.
So, but he failed it, that's alright. He tried to take a full defense action.
Yes, he tried to take a full one and failed. Yeah.
Yep. So it has his regular parry.
So, rah, it bites at you.
Yeah, it misses?
Yeah, pretty much. It grabs your arm and wrestles at you, and you thump it a couple of times on the wall of the building, and it falls off again.
Cool.
The other creatures...
Mummy... and is this the right one to put with this bit so I can get to my end of life?
All four of these guys stop stirring the chemicals, turn, look at you. There's no communication or coordination between them that you can see. They don't make a lot of noise beyond some clicking and whirring. and they just kind of step off the edge of the catwalk. There's no safety fences or anything, and go whew, clunk, whew, clunk, whew, clunk, whew, clunk into the ground. Seem to shake and shudder a bit with the impact, but pretty much just shrug it off.
Okay.
At which point,
I roll your dice.
Yeah, do you want to sit in that chair to roll my dice?
Can I just cast them all you have? All the dice.
All of the dice.
Can I roll the dice?
Yep.
So this is the fight point.
20 minutes till bed, see? I like monsters that fail their athletics checks. I don't like monsters that make their athletics checks.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, Jonathan, you're fumbling with the camera, aiming up at the balcony, aiming up at the catwalk, and you click the photo just as the guy steps off the edge, so you get nothing but this flash of head at the bottom of it. You see him go thud, and then we see from the camera's point of view, it looks down, and the golem creature goes kum, 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 across the floor towards you quite rapidly, filling the frame now as it rags towards you. And they move up.
Okay, sweet.
So there is now basically a giant melee pile at that doorway.
Yep. Okay.
And then it is Pete.
Yep. Pete takes a defense action. He's not going to do the run where he rolls fighting because his chances of beating his parry aren't very high. He's going to do the other one where he gets the +2 bonus.
Yep, by all means.
So that gives him a +2 bonus for his parry.
Yep, so his parry increases by 2.
Yep, he's going to have his wrench out, but he's just kind of using it to block. Let's go! Yep.
Okay. And we go to round 2.
Yep.
On a 4.
Oh dear.
9. Okay! The golem dog will go for Pete again, but really,
yep.
It's only alternatives. It just keeps worrying at you. It's now got different instructions. So.
Is that my snap, Molly?
It will.
It is your snap.
It grabs you by the.
Can I hop down and.
No, this isn't a good time to play with the snap.
No, it's not snap time, sweetie pie. Role playing time. So it will reach forward and snap at your leg as if it's trying to bite you, and then actually will try and pull your leg out from under you, basically making an agility trick against you to try and trip you instead.
Okay.
I can't. You're making an opposed agility check rather than parry. I can't remember whether you
get my +2 to it.
It looks like your defence thing is simply about defending.
Well, that would make sense.
It would.
Can I have those?
Well, I'm going to roll them, sweetie, because I
don't... Yeah, it's only your parry going up. Okay. Opposed agility.
Yep, 5.
It grabs at your leg.
Yep.
You brace yourself as if it's going to bite into you, but it in fact pulls instead of biting down. Yanks your leg out from under you, and you sort of pulled off your feet and roll around the ground and that.
Yep.
Banging your head and then coming back up. You're not actually prone, per
yep.
se. You are. Shaken. Shaken and at -2 parry. So
okay.
You're back to your regulation parry.
Okay.
At which point, one of the two golem creatures will go for Jonathan.
Yep.
And one of them will go for Pete. And they basically reach out towards you, appear to be largely unarmed, and just kind of bring these big hands around, and you'll probably not see, but hear the whirring of gears as their fingers close like pinches. And the one going for Pete on... A 1 versus your parry, I imagine, will miss you entirely.
Absolutely.
Pinches down on you, rips a bit of shirt, exposing
yep.
the some manly shoulder.
Yep.
1 going for Jonathan.
Yeah, I love that.
Also rips a bit of manly shoulder for those who like the guys wirier.
Mm-hmm.
Mummy, walks up into the middle of the zone. And it goes for... Do you want high or low, Miriam?
I think it's time to get the body stocks, you know?
Then I can come back to my dice.
And have a snack.
Yep. They all grab you and tear your shirt in several directions. And the last one will walk in, then try and run up. And you are welcome to either go to, because it's just PCs, or wait for Pete as you prefer.
Pete is shaken, so his action has to be to unshake, doesn't it?
Yes, for sure. At which point he may act or he may not.
I will crunch up, fold up the tripod and camera.
Oh, yeah, I imagine you actually haven't bothered to get the tripod out.
No.
Because the reason you use the tripod is to get very good, stable shots.
Yeah, I don't want one like
whereas
that.
At this point, you're trying to get one in a fast hurry.
Yeah.
So I imagine you've actually left the tripod in the bag.
Yes,
that's,
I have.
That's why you're having to make the spirit checks in the first place.
Yes, good.
Because if you had several minutes to set up a nice tripod and get the golems to just pose and stand still for you, you'd have no problems. But unfortunately,
No. Good. Because I was like, I don't want to have taken the tripod out.
Yep. Plunging them with it. Improvised weapon.
I would if I had. But no. They're close enough to me now that I could science them, aren't they?
In what are you aiming to accomplish?
See how they're made?
Yes, you certainly could. That will be an action to do so, but it will give you potentially useful information.
I'll do that.
Do you want to take any other actions?
I'll then move back.
You are going to have horrible trouble extracting yourself from this.
Yeah.
Because at this point, when you move back, you provoke from all four of them.
Is there any kind of a move carefully action?
Let's have a look at move carefully. Wait for your wait on your check. Because we'll see.
Yeah.
Provokes a so. Withdrawing when you're engaged in a melee provokes a free attack from all non-shaken opponents. You may defend while retreating, but you can't take any other actions.
Yeah. But if I make my science check, I might find out something that will be more helpful than at least shaking them.
You might. Unfortunately, if you want to do anything else, you're obliged to declare it in advance. Like if you're going to science them and then shoot at them, or science them and then sprint off, or whatever.
Yeah, no, I'm more thinking of things that I can then pass on to Helen.
Yep. For your action, you assess these creatures as they come in.
And fail. Apparently, my new dice hates me.
So, they have closed in around Jonathan, made several attempts to pinch his succulent flesh.
Yep.
And then he has stopped and looked at them and endeavoured to assess them with science and failed.
Okay. And now Pete is going to attempt one shake.
Yep.
So that would be spurt.
Yep. Yeah.
Pete unshakes at max.
Unshaken max, normally.
Yep.
Killing simple golems as you stand up.
Alright.
Now, remember that the option is in here to concede as well.
What's the concede one?
It's bound to be at this point go down and get captured.
Right. Yeah, no, not at this stage. Alright, I think. John, we have to go now.
Yeah.
Alright, I will endeavour to make a... Can I make some kind of a, strike at the dogs, make a fighting roll to distract them to cover Jonathan's escape?
What are you aiming to accomplish here? You're trying to draw everyone to beat on you?
I'm looking for a manoeuvre that will give him a bonus to his parry as he tries to get out.
Yeah, I could buy that you could defend him instead of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you basically swing the wrench out to
parry
blows off him.
Yeah, because he's going to have to provoke a lot to get through this crowd of dogs. Yeah,
so are you, however, when you go to leave.
Yeah, but the first goal is to get Jonathan out.
So, basically, when anyone steps out of that melee, they're going to provoke from everyone else that's in there, golems included.
Yeah.
Your best options to avoid that are to either shake them, or get rid of them entirely, and you can defend yourself on the way out to give you a +2 parry bonus.
Yeah.
I would be happy for you to defend or full defend Jonathan.
Yeah.
However, I won't let him then defend himself on top of that.
Yeah.
So you can't double stack.
All right. I think on the whole, as I think about it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a strike at that bat dog. I'm not really trying to kill it, I'm just...
And the GM gets a hero point for forgetting that they all got gang up bonuses last turn.
Right, yep. I'm going to strike at the bat, at the dog.
Yep.
And try and shake... I'm not really trying to kill it, I'm just trying to shake it to, as it's the most immediately escape-blocking one.
Oh, and the other option you have is you can physically move it out of the way by pushing it out of the way, or throwing it, or kicking it, or whatever.
Yeah.
Which will solve your it's in melee with me problem.
Yeah. Well, that does sound like an appropriate solution.
It's an opposed strength roll against
it. Yeah, but if it beats us in initiative, it can just move straight back into melee.
Correct.
On the other hand, if it beats us in initiative, it can also shake. No, I like that. Is that a strength check to punt a dog?
It is a strength check to punt a dog. It's called a push manoeuvre.
Yeah.
And it's up to you to decide, you know, how you're pushing it. You might be pushing it, you might
Pete's
be throwing
Pete's
it.
Pete's mighty leg winds back and then kicks forward and he endeavours to punt the golden dog. And he gets a 5. It's presumably opposed strength.
It is opposed strength. Alright. So you do not raise him, so you push him one zone. So basically,
out of melee.
You kick him back out into the courtyard.
Zone. Yeah.
And the golem dog goes clunk, and it makes these kind of artificial dog noises of roof, roof, roof that sound horribly out of place with its.
Ah, he got a puppy.
Yeah. That's right, listeners. Pete kicked a puppy.
Okay. And then, shall we have new cards and then Zoe bedtime?
Yep.
5 for Jonathan, 10 for Pete, Joker for Jack for the golems.
Oh dear.
So, at this point we come to the top of the third round.
Mm-hmm.
And can people give me 2 reactive checks, the first one being notice, the second one being science.
No for notice, and yes for science. I finally rolled something. I
got 10 on the. I got a 10 on the notice, and
you can try your science.
A 0 on the science.
Yeah. Okay, so Jonathan, your science. You will see that basically, when you looked at the outside of this factory, the big chimneys up the top of it were pumping out basically chemical smoke. When you look at what's happening with these vats now that they've stopped stirring them, there was these thin layers of coloured steam rising off them anyway. It's starting to get thicker. Whatever chemical substances in them obviously needs fairly constant attention. You certainly don't think it's going to explode in any hurry. No time within the next several rounds at least. But eventually, if this stuff is not maintained, something bad will happen. Moreover, you're pretty sure these fumes are toxic and that that's going to start causing people in the factory problems fairly soon, yourselves included. Pete, you see chemical smoke and think nothing of it.
Yeah.
What you do see, however, is up in the office, there are basically sort of shuttered curtains, shuttered curtains pulled most of the way across, and lights have come on in there, you know, artificial lights like flame lights like lanterns and things. And you see what looks like a large shape in there. You succeeded with 2 raises on this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what catches...
Hang on, I got a 10,
yeah,
so...
Road nose. Yeah. So what catches you out of the corner of your eye is a large shape in there that puts you vaguely in mind of the beast. It is this big, broad, vaguely misshapen creature. But actually, it's not the shape that draws your eye, it's the change in it, because the creature in there, it looked like just a large shape against the wall, and then it starts to herk and jerk and move. And what you actually think is happening is you saw a little shadow heading towards it, and then the little shadow is assumed by the big shadow, and the big shadow starts moving. Your wild-ass guess is that the little guy has turned into something the size of the beast by whatever methodology, at which you haven't succeeded well enough to get a better look at it.
Yeah.
But this might, among other things, account for some of the sightings you've had of the beast.
Yes, I think that's very interesting, but
and
my immediate problem...
Then a bunch of golems smash you in the head. So this is now going to get very ugly very quickly. As the pinchy grapple arms come out and scissor down on your flesh. Jonathan! That would be a 7 to hit you.
Yep.
They're remembering to gang up on you. And...
Two over my carry.
Yeah, so successful that'll raise. It is, however, actually... Well, I'll roll the damage first, and then I'll tell you if it's comparatively light. It is, however, comparatively light. Like, they grab you and pinch down your flesh,
yeah.
But... you don't think these things have necessarily been designed to attack people. They have a very strong grip, but they don't have big claws or blades or guns or anything like that. Does a 4 beat your toughness?
No.
Actual beat your toughness. Okay. So
well done.
It pinches down and you will leave a little bruise mark on your arm and you yank your arm out, shaking it. The other guy...
this is going to be more of a problem.
Yeah, we'll succeed with a raise handily. At which point he will deal you 6 damage with your toughness.
Just is one over.
Shakes you. And then Pete, the same for you.
Yep.
That is 8 versus your parry.
Which will succeed in hitting me without a raise.
And 3 versus your toughness.
Which will not succeed in shaking me.
And 7 versus your parry, success without a raise.
Yep.
And 4 versus your toughness.
Which will not hit.
So they pinch and grab at you.
Yep.
Stupid, mindless things. And...
The golem dog?
The golem dog will... back in again.
Yep.
Whereupon... It has to do this again. It will endeavour to agility trick you again.
Yep.
Yank you down. You make an opposed agility check at a 7 difficulty.
I do not make it.
Okay, but it do you succeed? Sorry, what's your roll?
4.
Okay, so it succeeds without a raise, which
yep.
is relevant. So at this point, you are not shaken. It merely
deals
gets,
a minus two, a minus two to my parry against him or against everybody.
It certainly does something.
Is it normally just against the opponent?
Six. Yeah, you suffer a minus two parry against him
yep.
until his next action. Yes, he needs the advantage of shaking you if you give everyone else the benefit.
Yep.
Okay, and golem's out. Yo.
There's some kind of prank. The guy up there just slipped into some kind of beast-like suit, maybe? I think that's that might explain some of the beast sightings. But I think we should still go. Alright, and I am going to... But at least we know they're bad guys now, and I'm going to bring my wrench down in a brutal strike against the golem dog.
Mm-hmm.
Endeavour to clear it out of Jonathan's way by wounding it badly.
Yep, they do so. Unfortunately, it wasn't fighting you, so it doesn't get its uppity billion going up bonus.
Okay,
you, however, get a plus one on this because you are also ganging up on it, given you've got Jonathan in the melee as well.
Okay, that's a 13.
To
hit its parry.
Yeah, I would say you're probably pretty safe.
Yeah, but I'd like to know if I'm succeeding with the raise.
You are indeed succeeding with the raise.
Cool. 2d8 and a d6. Ooh, that's going to be lots and lots. So
20 damage to the golden.
Okay. You bring the wrench down on its skull, and there is this shattering noise of metal, and just this... as you just drive the metal down, the skull bends in a big V. Barely bleeds at all. You're mostly just crushing into metal here. And there is a noise as its head just dips and the whole thing just falls over on its side.
Yep.
And stops moving altogether.
Sweet.
And that is that you.
That's me.
Unless you want to take your move action and step out of melee with everyone.
No, no, I'm still waiting for Jonathan.
Jonathan!
I'm going to unshake. Just spirit. Ha! Finally!
That was a good time to...
7.
Yeah, that is a success without a raise.
Which means you don't act. So no. I would spend a white point and act.
Okay, you get an 8 and succeed with a raise. You may... Well, actually, you spend a penny and succeed with a raise anyway.
Yeah.
So.
You're going to provoke from all four of them, but yeah. I'd do it anyway.
So I just want to move out.
So Jonathan and Dev moves, move action leaves melee range, provokes from all of them.
Yeah, so you have two choices here, basically.
Yeah.
You can leave and take a defense action, which will up your parry by 2, which will decrease the chances they will hook you on the way out, but you're only moving out one zone. Or you can just sprint the hell away.
I'm going to sprint because I have fleet-footed, which gives me a D10 wild dice.
Yeah, okay. So you turn and bolt for it, and as you do, they all claw at you. So wait for the clawing first.
Yeah, because you may get
just maybe shaken or whatever again. So one, and actually just double check. I'm fairly certain everyone gets a shot.
Because two of them are in combat with Pete, not Jonathan.
No, you're all in the same
melee.
You're all effectively standing next to each other. Alright, so 7 will hit you without a raise.
Yep.
No damage. Apparently insignificant damage. 8 will hit you. Will it be with a raise on your parry? No, it will not. It'll need to be 9. So, damage. That would be 9 versus your toughness.
5 is my toughness, so...
That's shaken.
Okay, so that will stop you and shake you.
Yeah.
At which point, a 9 versus your toughness of 5?
Oh, yeah, so...
Yeah, that's shaken and wounded.
Right. So you can spend a Benny to soak the wound, at which point, if you do, you're not shaken and you can have another try.
Yeah. There's still 2 more of them to go.
I think maybe that wasn't a good way to escape.
No, but...
The moving out with the parry bonus is probably going to be necessary if you're just going to try and get out.
Yeah, the thing is, though, you know, they could then just theoretically all follow him unless Pete stood there and played Guardian at the bridge.
Yeah, but, you know, that would reduce the number... Getting out of their range would split them up and reduce the number of them. I mean, at the moment, they're all getting gang-up bonuses. So I think that's a better move for next time. So we'll save the fate point to unshake you again. Okay, and after all, we might beat them in initiative this time.
Yes.
Then the other 2 would be on it as well.
Oh, right, yes. Okay,
he's still leaving.
Yeah.
That would be a 6 to hit you.
Yeah, just 6.
It does seem odd that they, like, he's been rendered decayed. He hasn't... All right, I guess they all provoke.
Well, basically, as he turns to bolt, they all go smash at the same time.
Right, yeah.
Because they have to resolve themselves sequentially.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is 10 versus your parry. Versus your toughness, brother.
Yep, my toughness is 5, so it's...
Okay, so shakes you and then wounds you again. And last guy up. Hits you on a 6. And fails to... wound you again, I believe. Yep, 4 versus 5. Okay, so as Jonathan turns the bolt, one grabs him by the arm, one grabs him by the back of the neck, and both just squeeze in, and you can hear that noise, and chiropractic is bad. It's not a proven science.
Okay, and another round.
And another round.
Admittedly, Pete got an explosion on the parry and the and on the damage last time. I can't necessarily do that to a golem every round. Particularly as I'll probably be dead before I get the opportunity.
And can you both give me vigor checks and a plus 4 bonus, so effectively you're only rolling against snake eyes or not?
That's the guess. That's become problematic. I'm fine. I'm surprised.
Yeah. You feel very slightly... You both feel very slightly lightheaded as this gas starts to fill the room a bit. Yeah, the thing is, you will achieve a success at a plus 4 bonus unless you snake eyes it, so...
You rolled one that wasn't a one. You're fine.
Yeah.
Okay, and all 4 golems.
Yep. Does anyone want to take the concession on the table again?
I think at this point we kind of have to. I know we don't want to, but we've been trying to get out.
I mean, the thing is, like, they can't... I mean, sooner or later, I guess they're going to shake Pete, and then Pete's going to be in some trouble. I mean, their ability to hit him isn't very good. They haven't wounded him yet.
Well, you don't have to concede as a unit. Pete can run away.
No, Pete's not going to run away and abandon Jonathan.
I mean, you can pick Jonathan up and carry him out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question is, if I don't concede and I get KO'd, does that make any difference to my... And then I concede next round after I've already been shaken and wounded. Does that make any difference to the outcome of me conceding?
Functionally, what you stand to lose is getting taken out and incapacitated.
Yeah.
At which point they may... It is unlikely that they will do so, but they may well take your arms off as well in the process.
Right.
Effectively, the concession is you know, we shortcut to what we think looks like the outcome of the fight, which is they beat us unconscious.
Yeah.
Then we cut to whatever happens next.
Yeah.
You don't have to tick off your wound boxes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you don't have to risk it beyond what Jonathan's already taken.
Yeah.
That's the price for not conceding. You don't have to risk being incapacitated.
Yeah.
And being incapacitated, incidentally, is when they knock you to.
Sounds like the gate. Alright, yeah, I think...
Sorry, I can finish describing what I was describing. Which is basically, if you run to incapacitation, when you tick through all your wounds and hit the big black incapacitated box, you roll a vigor check minus your horrible wound penalties.
Yeah.
To see what happens to you. Now, you can't die.
Yeah.
Because you're pulp heroes. However, the...
But you can lose limbs and stuff.
Yeah, the very worst outcome on the table is... Let's see, pulp rules, incapacitated. The worst outcome on the table is you're unconscious for several hours, which is, you know,
yeah,
a thing anyway. And you suffer a permanent injury.
Yeah.
So you get some sort of hindrance or...
Yeah, all right. So
which could be you get punched in the nuts so hard you can't have children.
If Jonathan takes too many more hits, he's risking incapacitation and I can't actually stop them from pummeling him.
Yeah, the likely... He's got to quite badly tank the vigor roll to actually get hit by the permanent injury.
But that's what we said. You know, we've had two characters tank their fear checks already. Yeah. Yeah, no, all right. Yeah, in hindsight, we should have bolted a bit significantly earlier in the fight, but, you know, we didn't, and now we're stuck with that. So, no, all right. Jonathan gets grabbed and starts getting dragged off. Pete tries to go after him, and golems sort of encircle him, and, you know, there's a brief struggle.
So, this is, in fact, what we see. Jonathan, the one that has a grip on your neck squeezes... And you will, at this point, actually black out from the pain, basically. You go, ah, ah, there's a sort of snap noise, his neck hangs slightly limp, and the audience goes, you know, is our beloved hero dead? And then they start dragging you, that one starts dragging you away. Pete, you leap forward to try and get at him, and the other three golems pour in and grab at you and block you, and basically drag and start... You know, pulling you and bashing you. There's the big manly wrestle where you walk forward, pulling the three of them along, trying to get to Jonathan. And then something hits you from behind that you don't see, and you stagger forward to both knees. And just as you're blacking out, you look up to the top office, and you see this big, dark, blurry shadow in your point of vision. Leans over and... Ah, guests. Bring them to me. Dun-dun-dun.
And do we leave it there until... Because the others may intervene, or...
Well, for starters, You get a point for conceding each.
Oh, sweet.
Because you have now been inevitably captured.
Yep. Red, white, and blue. Yay! Miriam was down one from last session because she did a thing that was simultaneous with the getting a refresh.
Yep. You don't need to clock out yet. We're not done, necessarily.
I know, I'm just keeping track.
Yep.
Yeah, just updates it as
you
go.
You can hand your card back. PT is now irrelevant to you.
Yep. Which is smart because her number's never wrong next session.
Yeah.
So...
The others can't come rescue us because we've got the carriage and none of them have piloting.
Well, they have feet.
Well, they can rent another carriage. It wasn't the only carriage in Bran. It was just one of the few carriages in Bran.
Yeah, but they also don't have piloting.
Well, they can make an untrained piloting check. I think the relevant point is I'm the only fighting character.
All right. And
you're probably the best second fighting character.
You both black out. At which point, I will give you several options here.
Yep.
Doubtlessly, the rest of the party will get off their asses and try and rescue you at some point.
Yep.
This is going to cost them at least a small modicum of time to get to the, well, they went out there, we'll give them some time to explore the Chimic Works. Okay, they haven't come back and now we're worried we'll go looking for them. So one of the penalties you pay is a bit of time.
Yeah, which sucks because we're on the clock, but you know. At least we're not dead.
Secondly, for the two of you are moving into the capture and interrogation style scene.
Awesome.
Which we can hold for the table if you particularly desire, but we can also just do now, given that it's the two of you, the rest of the party isn't going to make any immediate impact.
We could do it now.
Yeah, I mean, they can always listen to the podcast if they want to know what happened to us. In detail. Yeah, no. We might have capture and interrogation scenes, though. They've probably separated us.
Yeah.
Just look at...
So, what's Mr. Frankenstein in Chimic Works guy going to do when he's captured two mysterious prisoners? One of whom broke his dog.
Okay.
If I'd continued in the previous round, I would have broken his dog, but I think he might be kind of the kind of person who's grouchy anyway.
When you come to, you both sort of Pete first as the hiver, you guys sort of stirs, and then Jonathan starts to stir in the background as well. When you both come to, can you both make me a smarts check to work out where you are, what's happening, etc., etc.?
Eight.
Okay.
So, are you actually smarter than me?
Yeah, I thought
you are.
Yeah.
But Pete's not done. It's just Jonathan's very clever.
So, both of you both come to, and you have been secured to basically pipes via handcuffs, essentially. So the two of you were both standing, sort of leaning slightly forward on your own weight, hands cuffed above your head around some thick metal pipes that feel very hot next to your hands. There isn't any natural light coming down into here, I believe. Does anyone remember what time it actually was when you came there?
It was afternoon.
Yeah.
This was the first thing we did after the trial.
Yeah. So you would surmise one of two things has happened. Well, Pete, you would guess one of two things has happened. Either you're somewhere out of the light, or it's been enough time that it's now nighttime instead of daylight. Jonathan, however, you come to and get a look at the angles and refractions and play of light and rah rah rah. Your guess would be you're in a basement under the Chimic Works itself, given the pipes and the acrid chemical smell that is still in the air and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you actually haven't gone far. You have no methodology of determining how much time has passed between hither and thither, however.
Yep. I was the one that succeeded with the raise.
Sorry. Yeah. Other way around.
Yes. Yeah, I make that determination.
Yeah.
Cool.
My apologies.
That's all right.
Would you like a drink or anything, Ryan?
No.
And there are two of these same golem human creatures standing in the background of the room, and another golem dog. There are a large number of crates and things around, all marked in Romanian, which means nothing necessarily to you.
Yep.
And
okay, it's not too strange in a freaking knowledgeable languages when you need it.
There is this misshapen, sort of vaguely hunchback guy in front of you. He is almost dwarf, not quite actually a midget, but very short. You'd guess he's about 5 feet, a little over 5 feet tall. Hunched over, his face looks slightly deformed and has that vaguely Phantom of the Opera forced half smile thing. And he is looking at the two of you, and of the whatever the large beast thing you saw was, there is no sign down here at all. Thus. And he looks at the two of you and. Ah. Visitors. What are you doing breaking into my Chimic works? And you will notice that behind him he has a table laid out that appears to very clearly contain a set of surgical tools and a bunch of basically vials and needles of sort of this vaguely greenish and bluish goo.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like anything pleasant.
Yeah. What was the name of the guy we actually came here to look for?
Dr. Vorstag. Otto was the toolmaker.
Right, Dr. Vorstag.
Presumably isn't a...
We wanted to question Dr. Vorstag. I assume you're him? We just wanted to talk, but there didn't seem to be any kind of doorbell or knocker, and when we went in the door, your blasted dog went for us.
I do not encourage visitors or thieves.
We weren't here to steal, we were here to talk. We're official investigators with the Magistrate's Office, looking into the case of the Beast of Bran.
I understood the beast was to be burned.
It's having a trial.
What then brings you here to my Chimic wax?
We wanted to ask what your surgical tools were doing on the island, the graveyard island in the valley of whatever the, what's that town?
Morast.
On Morast's graveyard island.
He stares up at you and you realise he's got actually one glass eye rolling slightly oddly in his head. Pete, can you make me a persuasion check?
Yeah. I don't have to use whatever the bluffy thing is because I'm telling him nothing but the truth.
It's persuasion anyway.
Right. A success with no raise.
Whether you're telling the truth or not actually makes no difference to the check you're rolling. I see. Most people take the lock as an invitation to stay away. The Chimic Works can be extremely dangerous.
Yes, noticed that.
And
Fair enough. We tried not to break anything till right at the end where the dog really went for me and I had no choice but to put it down.
And you... And he shoves his face up at you, Jonathan. The glass eye rolls wildly in his head.
There we are. Someone who's
on what
eyes
have
not,
you to say?
Not merely off-putting eyes, shifty eyes, but actually off-putting.
I just wanted to come here and see what was happening for myself. See if you could shed any light onto the bizarre and troubling situations that we have found ourselves in. We have heard about while investigating the incidences with the Beast of Bran. And of course, with your surgical tools missing, we wanted to ask about them and if you'd missed them when you lost them.
Can you roll me a persuasion check?
No, I cannot.
Well, you roll some dice.
Oh,
apparently my dice.
So that's a 9 and that's an 8 plus whatever. It's another explosion roll again. 12. 15. Jonathan's extra shifty eyes on it. Jonathan's shifty eyes count for naught compared to a guy whose eyes are way weirder. For the first time, you find someone who considers that bonding.
You have come all this way just for a set of surgical tools.
It seemed very strange to find them really dead.
He stares at the two of you in some disbelief. I see. That is very unfortunate. The tools were stolen from me. You won't necessarily lead off with that. He'll ask you a couple of questions about, you know, what did the tools look like. Presumably you give him an actual description. They were stolen from me some months ago. It is so hard to keep an eye on everything around here myself. Roll, 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 goes his eye.
Empathy check.
Well, please. And can people, yes, give me one empathy and then one healing.
Okay,
5 for empathy.
Yep.
I get either a success or a failure, depending on whether he's lying to me. If he's lying, it's a failure. So I think just tell Jonathan.
He actually double explores as well, 10. So.
Yep. So we receive no further information?
Yeah, so on 10 you receive no further information from the GM. Can you make me a healing roll as well?
What's healing?
That's
right.
There is
an
healing skill.
There is an actual healing skill. Sorry, it's just one I don't have.
Minus
1.
Yeah, he stares at you in some disbelief. The Chimic works. We deal, as you have seen, we deal in some oddities here. Roll, 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 goes his glass eye. The villagers of Bran would not be happy if they knew what is going on here. You have seen what they have done to the beast. The science of alchemy can be disturbing for the lesser minded.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can see why people have a problem with his little corpse machines. People says uh-huh and reflects for actually saying that. But he doesn't say anything outside it, he just kind of looks at them.
Well, this is a most unfortunate situation. I have no particular desire to keep you here or see you turned over to the justice of Bran for breaking, entering, and theft. On the other hand, I do not wish to be shot in the back if I let you go.
We don't plan on shooting you in the back.
Let us chalk this up to a terrible misunderstanding, then, that could have been a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
Roll, roll, roll. You will forgive me, then, but I cannot have you threatening my lovely creation. I think it is time for you to leave. And he steps over and starts looking at his various vials of coloured goo and picks one up, taps it, sort of looks at Pete like he's sizing him up for sort of body weight and
You're prepared to send us on our way, we'll just walk out the gate like gentlemen.
Oh, I'll send you on your way. Squirts the thing slightly,
right.
A little bit of liquid comes out the top of it. And he starts approaching the two of you.
Yeah.
With this vial, with a vial, not actually in each hand, he's not going to be stupid about it, dual wield them, but picks two up and comes towards Pete with one of them.
Yeah.
Do you want to attempt to do anything about this?
I'm not wild about it.
There are several options you have.
Yeah.
You could endeavour to just hardcore out of the pipes and, you know, do the manly, rip the pipe out of the wall. Which would probably be dangerous to you and him and Jonathan, because the pipe is almost certainly full of God knows what.
Yeah,
That's
a good point.
However, that's a methodology you're probably going to have to use sooner or later for your hands, unless you lockpick them or something in that neighbourhood.
Yeah.
You could certainly kick him. You'd be at fighting at penalties because you are shackled. Or you could simply let him inject you with whatever rely on your vigour to fight it off.
Yeah, can I have one more empathy check?
Yes, you can.
I'm trying to read what he's doing here. As a
or science, actually, to identify what you think he's got in the vials.
I fail.
Can I science what he's got in the vials?
Yes, you can.
Nine.
Okay, so he's got a whopping two to oppose your empathy, Pete.
Right, okay. That might actually... that was a two.
Given that he has, you know, a kind of this rolly eye, so he's probably got some sort of charisma penalty. Jonathan, you actually think, based on what he has got there, like the floating chemical composition and that sort of thing, I'm not entirely sure you'd be making this determination off, so I'm just trying to think of something.
Science is all about, pulp science is all about the different colours.
Yeah, pulp, that's very true.
Right, and based on the iridescent yellow of this particular group.
You're pretty sure if this was actually some sort of deadly poison or something in that neighbourhood, it would be black or a dark vile green and quite thick and viscous. You actually think it is some sort of specialist knockout drug. It is probably going to do something more than just a standard chloroform rag over the mouth. But you don't actually think it's going to necessarily hurt you worse than just knocking you out.
So do you provide some kind of indicator?
Yeah.
What your, like, it'll be okay, Pete, or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. I trust John, and I let him, and I do not endeavour to break the pipe, and particularly because I've realised it's full of superheated steam or something.
Okay. And he leans forward and he injects you in the arm with this stuff, Pete.
Yeah.
And then it functionally does the same to you, Jonathan. You actually both make vigor checks. You can't actually voluntarily fail this because you can't legislate your own body.
However, I can pretend to be... I can at least try to pretend to be KO'd if it doesn't work on me.
And I'm just looking up what the penalty on the vigor check is, because it is a penalised one.
I've never been poisoned in pulp before. This is a new experience.
Hmm.
I mean, it's knockout poison, but it's
still poison.
It's functionally poison. Okay, so that is vigor at minus two.
Cool. I got a five.
Yep.
Three, so minus two is one.
So, Jonathan's eyes roll back in his head as he slumps against the wall. Pete, you feel woozy and wobbly and things. What do you intend to do about this?
I'm going to close my eyes and go limp.
Okay. Initially, this should be very easy to do. Can you give me persuasion at a plus two bonus?
Yep.
You are doing exactly what he expects you to do straight off the bat.
Six.
Okay. And you go limp forward. And maybe a minute or so passes, and then you feel yourself... Then you hear the little click and feel the weight come off your hands and sort of let yourself sag forward into what are clearly the golem arms.
Yeah.
And they start carrying you,
finally. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Just bring them this way. Yes, this way. They'll get what's coming to them, of thing. And you are going to continue to remain limp?
Yep.
Okay. Notice check, I think. notice check at minus two. Work out what's going on. Well, your eyes are shut.
Yeah.
You know, you hear thumping. You feel like you're moving in this direction.
Three. I don't know.
Yeah. You're reasonably confident you might be going up or maybe down. You're not quite sure. Some stairs or something. At some point, you will hear him say, there will be a stop, and there is some slight sort of pinching and things as he basically appears to feel your pulse, pokes at your hair, that sort of thing, and then says, yes, it's all right. I have all the samples I require.
That's not troubling at all. On the other hand, I wouldn't know about DNA, so I'm not worried about him cloning us or whatever.
Take them out into the forest. And you are dragged out. You are dragged presumably outside. There's more thumping. This goes on for some time.
Yeah.
You would guess you are carried for at least 10 or so minutes.
Yep.
Kind of thing. Then you get a very odd sensation. Okay, then you hear some really weird noises. You are pulled up into the air. There is a clink clink of cuffs going round you again, and you find at any point you want to try and resist this, you can.
Yeah, I think at the point that I'm being recuffed,
so
I'm going to wake up.
You've been pulled up somewhere, basically.
Yep.
And then someone is holding you like this,
yeah.
And then you hear the clink and feel a cuff go around your wrist.
Yeah.
First one on, but it's, unless it's secured to something else you haven't seen. What do you... And you open your eyes and thrash around?
Yeah, I will and try and get what's holding me to drop me.
Okay. And when you look...
it's an instinctive reaction.
Yeah, it probably is. You can make a smarts check, or you can just have a hero point, as you prefer.
I'll have the hero point.
Okay. So, you come to find that you are basically up a tree. One of the golems is holding you like this, is standing on a branch holding you like this, putting the handcuffs on, and across from you, Jonathan is hanging from another tree like this, already cuffed up to a branch.
Yeah.
And the golem on the end appears to be just finishing sawing the branch that he's on about three quarters of the way through. To what purpose, you couldn't necessarily guess in the 10 seconds you've got when you open your eyes, go, ha! A thing! Struggle! Struggle!
Struggle!
Struggle! Thrash! And the golem drops you.
Excellent!
And you fall!
Yep.
Quite some distance. However, rules of pulp falling, so you will probably just shake this off.
I know. I love my eight toughness.
It is quite a long fall. You would guess, you know, a good dozen meters.
Yeah.
10, 11.
Ooh, so over my toughness, I am shaking as I hit the ground.
Okay, so you see that the golem looks oddly at you. You hit the ground and go bang.
Ow.
Basically fall prone, go, ow, pain, unending pain.
Yeah.
And, yep, it has not been given sufficient instructions for this, so it starts climbing down the tree again.
Yeah.
As does the one that appears to be finished with whatever it's doing with Jonathan.
Yeah.
And you functionally just unshake and get up, because they're not in any position to oppose you doing it.
Yep. I'm going to put the tree between me and them, and just kind of watch them, like I'm not going to try and fight them unless they're trying to put me back up a tree. If that more or less covers what they were sent here to do and they're just heading home, I'm just going to let them go.
Very, very obviously to you at this point, you are missing your weapons and things and no longer sitting conveniently on belts and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So we don't have any of our stuff?
You don't appear to have your backpack or whatever on you. You don't appear to have your gun or your wrench or anything like that on you.
Yeah.
Miscellaneous pocket lint is probably another story.
Yeah. Can I see our backpacks around anywhere?
What's your immediate reaction to this, basically? If you're going to endeavour to accost them or what have you, or actually take a look around the area with functionally and semi-initiative.
Yes, I am. It's my wrench.
Yep.
I need my wrench back.
Okay. So you look around, and you will see basically hanging from a third tree by a rope, there is a couple of bags of whatever you conveniently carry things in, which will have the enormous end of wrench sticking out of it.
Sweet, that's fine.
It is definitely out of your reach, a pain in the ass to get to, and not going
that's
to
be cool. I do not impede, if the golems are exiting, I do not impede them. That's what I need to know.
And they watch you, but don't seem to...
Yeah, Pete's just going to stand behind his tree.
You can probably fairly safely at this point draw the conclusion that there's something fundamentally wrong with their intelligence on some level or another. They climb down the tree and start walking off that way.
Sweet. I wait until they've gone a moderate distance, and then I go over and take a look at Jonathan's tree.
Yep.
In fact, given we're out in the middle of the woods of Transylvania, I will try and go get my backpack.
Yep. Can you make me a survival check first?
Okay.
Take a look, see around at this.
Four. I'm untrained, though. Two.
Yeah. You are not a woodsman. If there's a point to this, it eludes you.
Yeah.
You know, Jonathan is obviously secured and contained in some fashion, but
yeah.
Why that as opposed to around a tree or buried in a hole or whatever?
That said, if the Shomik works, if the a doctor was a real villain, he'd have just... tried to kill us while he had the chance, I think. He's certainly not a heroic type, but...
You go over, and your bag is basically hanging from a rope substantively out of your reach. Can you roll me an athletics check versus critical fumble?
Okay, well, I can do that. I did not critical fumble, I raised...
So, there is no compelling time pressure on this.
Yeah.
You will notice, in fact, at this point, the sun is basically going down.
Sweet, so it hasn't been that long.
Unless you've lost an entire day. The sun is sort of going down. You climb up the branch. It's a bit tricky, but not awesomely so. You will notice the branch here is sawed through again. To the extent where you're probably smart enough to, rather than climb out on it, unless, you know, you want to fish for more points, you just kind of yank on it and smash it a bit until the whole thing comes down.
I will have my hero point for falling off the track.
Bang, 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 bang. Smash, and the whole thing comes down.
Yeah.
And you open your bag, and can I have both your character sheets to see if there's anything that would have been removed out of there? It's your gear that I want.
Pete will be sad if he's lost his magnum, but the wrench is the important bit.
Okay. So, Pete, nothing is missing from your bag.
Yep.
Jonathan, the holy water is missing from your bag.
I've got holy water in my bag.
Oh, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong people, am I?
Well, my character sheet that I just handed you has holy water.
Sorry, right? I looked at the backs of them. Yes, you're right, I'm looking at the wrong ones.
Yeah, I don't have holy water.
Okay,
yeah.
Pete, your holy water is gone.
Okay.
Do you pass me an eraser?
Just entirely.
Yeah.
The vial, flask, water and everything. Because I presume it was actually labelled in some fashion.
Well, I would imagine it didn't have any writing on it, but would have had a big
cross.
Just like those ones in the Buffy thing where it's got one of those big stylized crosses on it.
And your camera has been opened.
Yeah.
The film has been taken out and tossed around.
Yeah.
Basically, you know enough of photography to whatever photos on it are ruined.
Yeah, but they were. But it was Jonathan's golem arm, so it wasn't too bad anyway.
Yes, but he doesn't know that. Yeah. His only method of knowing that is to develop them and see what's
on
them.
Yeah. Cool, but we still have our stuff.
Yep, and you have an unconscious Jonathan hanging, you know, several metres above your head.
Okay, now that I've secured my stuff, and I'm going to put Jonathan's pack by the bottom of the
tree. The tree branch was pretty easy to break when you put some force on it.
Yeah, but I don't really... Can I reach Jonathan's feet?
No.
Right. because I don't really want to stand out there.
He is dangling like a good dozen meters in the air.
Okay, I've got a survival kit here. Can I rig up like a hammock under him?
Yeah, theoretically, that would be repair.
Okay, because what I want to do is go up there and break his tree branch once there's a hammock under him,
as opposed to just...
But actually, first I'll just yell, Jonathan! John! Wake up!
He just hangs there. It's pretty obvious to you he's unnaturally asleep as opposed to merely unconscious.
Yep, I will make my D4 repair. I get 5 on my hammock rigging activities.
Goodness, this might reset your sleep clock. Okay, so you basically rig up a blanket and that sort of thing under there, stick it between a couple of tree branches, go off, get a tree branch, build it up, and you think you've got basically a hammock slash net underneath him.
Cool, and now I'm going to try and climb his tree.
It's not going to completely solve his problem of falling, but it will negate a significant chunk of it.
Sweet. I don't have a better way of getting him out of the tree, so I'm going to... Close enough is good enough. That's a rough and ready rescue approach.
Well, unless you want to climb out and try and pick him up and then come back again.
Yeah, but that involves Pete climbing out onto the broken branch.
Correct.
Yeah, no, Pete's
not broken, it's sawed 3/4 of the way through.
Yes, but Pete's a big guy. When he gets out there, it's going to break, and then he's going to land on top of Jonathan, at which point Jonathan's going to take the beer.
So you basically climb up the tree, sort of put one arm hanging around, lean up with the other arm, and go...
Yeah, and break the branch.
And yes, it goes snap, 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 break.
Anyway, Jonathan's unconscious, therefore limp, and limp is the best way to fall.
That's right. Jonathan. You thud into a hammock and bounce, completely unconscious and unaware of all of this.
Jonathan, then he rolls over, snuggles down in the hammock and begins snoring in the air of a man who's had significantly less sleep on this adventure.
You have Jonathan. He has several horrible pinch marks on him.
Yeah.
That now look like they are... relatively bad because he's in minus 2 wounds. You are in the woods somewhere, presumably. You would assume very logically it's still Transylvania somewhere. It looks like the areas you've been through.
When, from that
you
matter,
were conscious, so you don't think you've been carried for hours and hours.
Yes, but I think we're probably 10 minutes from the Charmic Works. However, my chances of figuring out which direction that is, I'm going to try and wake Jonathan up.
Healing at minus 2.
Okay, an additional minus 2 to the unskilled bonus?
Yes.
Okay.
This is not actually about his wounds, it's about opposing the drugs that are in his system.
On the other hand, this was an excellent time to get to explosions. Okay, minus 4 is 12, 15,
12, 5
is
17
minus
4. 13! Okay, so Jonathan...
Like a really bad hangover. I've dealt with those.
Recognised earlier when you were being drugged, it was effectively a knockout, I'd say drug rather than poison, but a knockout drug that sort of goes to the back of the spine and cuts the flow of oxygen off to the brain a bit to black you out and is relatively hard to recover from. It's a fairly good quality compound. And Pete comes along, tries to wake you up, splashes a bit of water on, then inadvertently does exactly the right thing
because
he's doing, by picking you up and shaking you, and as he does so, your neck snaps back and forth like this, and there's the click and the compound starts flowing more into your system and you woozily come to find
the dart falls out of your neck.
You are in the woods in a hammock,
yeah.
You know, with Pete shaking you violently. Your neck hurts a lot.
I don't like golems.
John, you okay?
I'm
not a fan either. They were hanging us from tree branches, but I was only pretending to be knocked out, so I clambered out. I fell out of my tree, and then I got you out of yours, and we've got all our stuff, except the holy water, that's gone, and he ripped all our photos, but I didn't think you got a particularly good photo off.
I didn't.
Alright, well,
The only thing you've lost are the photos you've taken off the Chimek Works, because the last thing you got of the wraiths you actually developed.
Yeah, so
probably you've got anything else from there.
So I think, he's obviously not a good guy. He's got some kind of Frankenstein-looking... he's got some kind of monster suit or something up there, which might have something to do with the beast. But he's not that bad a guy, because if he was a full society type, he'd just have murdered both of us, because that'd be the sensible thing to do. The only reason for him not to is because he didn't really want to kill us. So I think we might just be best to leave him at this point. He's a bit dangerous to fight, and not bad enough guy to be worth taking out.
Jonathan, can you roll me a survival check? You can easily recognise from the way the broken branch is sitting on the ground that basically the point of this thing is because the branch is sawed most of the way through, sooner or later your own weight will cause the branch to fall, which would actually be bad and dangerous because you would almost certainly hurt yourself in the fall, but it would free you. So you are it's only meant to be temporary containment. That's the two purposes you can think of for it, actually, are temporary containment, rather than just leaving you unconscious under the tree, at which point you can get up and do whatever. When you woke up, you'd still be contained for several more hours until the tree broke, or you broke out of the cuffs, or whatever. The other thing is, actually, hanging up in the tree, you're out of reach of most of the predators of Transylvania.
Like the wolves, we couldn't be eaten by
wolves. Wolves would not be able to eat you while you're hanging in the tree, style of thing, and by the time you've fallen, you'd presumably become conscious again, hopefully. It's certainly not a safe method of containing you. It's not a great one, but it doesn't appear to have been designed to murder you. Quite the opposite.
You'll convey this? Yep. You're, of course, still handcuffed. I'm going to assume you can take care of that with a larceny check and save me wrecking your
cuffs. With sufficient time and effort, it just does so.
Yeah, because me breaking the handcuffs would probably be significantly slower and also more painful, so...
Yeah, because there's no longer any rush constraint on it, as opposed to if you're trying to break them, well, you fight your way off the pipes style of thing. You just do it. You have larceny, you have the capacity to do so.
With Jonathan's neck wounds, there's some kind of a golden hour thing. By the time we get back to someone who actually has healing, it'll be too late?
As far as you know... Wounds that don't get treated fairly quickly are much harder to treat. You have no idea if it's been too long or not.
Well, I might try an untrained healing roll then on the basis that it seems like we've got little to lose.
By all means.
Alright, so I've got a -4 to this. Yep. And I already used up my massive explosion on the other one, but I'll give it a shot. No, that's a 2.
Okay. Yeah, it is obvious to you that his wounds are past treatment.
Yeah.
Based on your healing result.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so can you find our way back to the Chimic Works? Our carriage might still be there.
So, survival to find our way out of the woods?
Yep, by all means. What did you do with your carriage anyway?
We just left it.
Parked it at the gate, functionally?
Yeah. I think we parked it...
Because you were trying to sneak up.
I think we would have
parked it 10 minutes away.
Yeah, I think we parked it 5 minutes away from the Chimic Works.
So, survival.
4.
Did you just re-roll that?
Yes.
Yeah, that was probably a good idea.
Okay. So, you find yourself about 15 minutes walk away from the Chimic Works, start heading back in the direction you think it is, within several minutes come across the sight of that smoke on the horizon again, and if you head to your carriage, you find it where you left it, 10 minutes outside of the Chimic Works, horses tied to a tree behind several things.
Yeah, sweet. At which point we will embark in our carriage and head back to civilization. Yeah. Bran being, in this case, civilization. I'll be more specific.
I'll pinch that for a moment. So
I'd say for drama purposes, right around the time that they're saying, all right, it has been too long, we have to go looking for them.
Yeah, we arrive. I now want to know who stole who apparently stole the...
I think he's lying. I think he was on the island digging up corpses.
Oh, I agree. But,
In which case, nobody stole the surgical cords. He's just saying somebody stole them because they were discovered in incriminating circumstances. I think he's yet another guy creeping around creating dodgy Frankensteinian monsters.
Probably.
But then fundamentally, everyone in Transylvania either seems creepy or is creepy.
The best guys
we've run across have been Dracula and the Crooked Kid.
And you start heading back towards Bran, at which point, whether you get there or not, depends on what other people are doing.
Yep. Yes, we may come across them on the road in the new carriage coming to rescue us.
Well, you may actually find them at the carriage.
Yeah.
We will say you head back towards the carriage and observe that it is there.
Yeah.
And that is where we will cut away.
Yep, sweet.
And that is the fascinating side trip to the time it works.